Hi, everybody. It's Michael Bennett. Thank you for making time to be on this call on this incredibly picture-perfect Colorado day. I hope everybody is staying safe and able to take care of your loved ones and each other. I wanted to take a few moments this morning, as we've done with other issues during the course of this pandemic, to discuss the Restart Act, which is a new bill that I put out a few weeks ago with my Republican colleague from Indiana, Senator Todd Young. Before I go into the details, I just wanted to introduce a few other people on the call who've got a lot more expertise than I do to offer and will share their experiences about what the Restart Act would mean from where they sit in Colorado. We have Janine Williams, who's the CEO and founder of Impulsify, Rich, and maybe Jessica Fierro. Jessica's got some other stuff she's trying to close while we're on this call, but they're the owners of Atrevida Beer Company, I think in the Springs. Jody Corey, who's the owner of the Spoken Vine Motel, and Bill Carver, owner of Carver Brewing Company in Durango. After I say a few words, they're going to speak for a few minutes, and then we'll open it up to your questions. Before I say anything else, I wanted to acknowledge the terrible milestone that we passed this week, with over 100,000 Americans lost the coronavirus, including 1,300 people here in Colorado. It's really important that we don't become numb to this, or something that we expect. Every one of those numbers is someone's neighbor or parent or grandparent, and it's moments like these that we need to reach out to those who are grieving and let them know they're in our thoughts, reach out to those who are just worried and let them know that we're thinking about them. At the same time that we've seen this loss of life, we've also have to look out for the 40 million Americans who've lost their jobs through no fault of their own. That's almost one in four workers in America. I was in a county yesterday, Eagle County in Colorado. It's got an almost 25% unemployment rate right now. We haven't seen numbers like that since the 1930s. And if we're going to get this economy back on its feet, which I'm confident that we will, we have to make sure that those 40 million Americans have jobs to return to. And for that to happen, we need to make sure small businesses across Colorado and the country stay in business and survive until things are closer to normal, however long that takes. That's going to require more action from Washington, because a lot of our small businesses are in serious trouble. Only one in five has enough cash to stay in business for the next 3 months. Many have cash only for the next 2 weeks. One in three think it will be at least 6 months before they can return to normal operations, either because of regulations that they're facing or just the public's concern about coming back. And this is all especially true, and it has been especially true since the beginning, for our hardest hit businesses like restaurants, breweries, salons, hotels, and seasonal sectors like tourism. They are running out of cash and running out of time, and unless we do something, we're going to see a lot of them close their doors forever and never reopen, turning temporary job losses into permanent ones. I don't believe we can let that happen, and it's why we put together the Restart Act. The Restart Act basically does two things. First, it fixes issues with the original small business program, which is called the Paycheck Protection Program, which did not do enough for our hardest hit businesses. For example, it said, we'll give you a loan, but we'll only forgive your expenses during the first 8 weeks after that loan was issued. Those 8 weeks have come and gone for a lot of businesses. And even though we're starting to reopen, many of our hardest hit businesses still face tremendous uncertainty. If you're a sit-down restaurant or a gym, you've potentially been completely closed for months, and you're not going to be at full capacity for a while. We seek to address that in this new bill. The PPP loan had a few other issues, like arbitrary caps on how businesses could use the loan or giving businesses too little time to repay it. Our bill adds flexibility to work around those arbitrary caps, doubles the amount of time businesses have to deploy the loans from 8 weeks to at least 16 weeks. And second, the bill creates a new program to support our hardest hit small businesses and nonprofits and sustain them through the end of the year. This is a new loan program. No interest on this loan would be due in the first year. No principal would be due in the first 2 years, giving them the runway they need to get back up to full strength. The Restart program would forgive a portion of the loan based on how much revenue a business has lost this year, and it would give businesses 7 years to repay the rest of the loan so they have more flexibility. In other words, if you're a restaurant that's seen your revenues drop 80% this year, the amount of the loan the government would forgive would reflect that 80% drop. At a broader level, the Restart Act recognizes that the pandemic hasn't affected all businesses the same, and relief should reflect that. It also recognizes that business decisions are best left to those who run them instead of dictating a one-size-fits-all approach from Washington, which is why the loans we've designed have such flexible terms. This is the only bipartisan proposal that fixes PPP and looks beyond June to help small businesses with their working capital through the end of the year. For now, this is the only game in town, and we're going to push really hard to make this part of the next relief package, because America can't afford to let our small businesses go under. They literally are the backbone of Colorado's economy and of the country's economy. So I'm going to end there and turn it over to our panelists to say a few words. Before they start, I want to remind all of you, if you think you're going to have a question, please dial *3 on your phone while our panelists are sharing their remarks. You don't need to wait till they're done. You can hit *3 now if you think you're going to have a question, and we'll take your questions at the end of the call. As always, I am open for not just your questions, but your observations and your criticisms as well. Our first speaker this morning, and I want to thank them all because I know how busy they are getting things back on their feet, but our first speaker today is Janine Williams, who's the CEO and founder of Impulsify. I hope, Janine, you'll tell people a little about Impulsify and then other thoughts that you might have.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate being invited to attend and for just so much thought going into what we're up against. And for us, Impulsify is a software company in downtown Denver, which you would think was somewhat isolated, but we are 100% reliant on the hotel industry. We provide a self-service kiosk point of sale for their little grab-and-go stores in the lobby. If you walk into, say, a Hilton Garden Inn or and visit that little store in the corner by the lobby, we've built a self-service kiosk to allow the guests to check themselves out. And it has been a business that has boomed and grown for years, especially in the last 2 to 3 years, when more and more self-service technology has become a reality for so many businesses. And you know, with March, our world just flipped upside down. So we work in a co-working space, highly affected, obviously, on Platt Street. We work for the hotel industry, which completely knocked us out. We've seen, we track every day how many users we have. Originally, we were at about 1,000 hotels nationally. We were down to as little as 175 users in the worst part of April. It's just, even as we begin to see recovery occur, and we have seen 5 very heartening upticks in occupancy levels and also in retail sales run through our system that correlate with those occupancy levels, it's we're a long way from whole. We had to lay off a large portion of our staff, and with as many shortcomings as the PPP did have, I can tell you as someone who received it, it was at minimum some optimism and the ability to take care of the families that are so loyal to us. So I am just beyond excited and optimistic about this bill and what it does to put the decision making back in the hands of the employers who know. If I ramped back to 20 employees right now, I would have to lay them all off again in months and so in weeks. So the flexibility of this plan and just a lot more forgiveness and leniency on how we spend and how we prioritize our spending as we begin to restart is what's so needed now that we all realize this is not you know, a 2-week shutdown, a 4-week shutdown, an 8-week shutdown. This is a massive impact for months, if not for the hospitality industry, likely well into 2022. So very excited to be a part of this and to just learn more about it.
Janine, I can't thank you enough and appreciate very much your hanging in there in this really difficult time. Next, we have Rich Fiero, who's owner of Atrevida Beer Company. I hope that I pronounced that right. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that the first time I actually met Rich was on another call like this, much earlier in the course of the pandemic, when he called up to say, we have to think of a better way of doing this stuff. And Rich, thank you for those thoughts, and let me turn it over to you.
Sure, I appreciate it, Senator Bennett. It's my wife, Jessica, and I, and we are a family-owned business, a small business brewery in Colorado Springs. And I did call in last time. I've been trying to get into to any venue I can to get our voices heard, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen. We are wholly affected by this pandemic. We were initially shut down, and then we began to-go sales, and we had to transition to canning, which we had never done. So we borrowed a piece of equipment to do that and to retain our employees. We've got 4 employees we started this pandemic with, and we still have. We have yet to receive a PPP. We have yet to receive the Eat Idle. We applied at the beginning when we were all let loose to do so. It is very tough. I still work full time, so that's where I'm able to provide to make ends meet for my family. As an Army veteran, I'm still working as a defense contractor, which has also been hit. I've been working from home. So we are hit all across the board here in the Springs, and that is something that is important to us. As a business, though, I wanted to kind of touch on something that in light of yesterday and the last few days' events in Minnesota, we have emblazoned and taken on a moniker of diversity. It's on tap in Colorado Springs, and we've done that now for 2 years. We have a message we believe is beyond just beer. We were inspired by the beer summit that President Obama did to bring folks to the table to enjoy a beer and to conversate. That is what we are intending to do here in the Springs. That is why it is so important for us to try and remain open and help our fellow local business owners do the same. So that's where we're coming from. That's who we are. We're veteran Latino owners. My wife is the head brewer, and she is the queen behind the entire business. I am here to help her. So that's what we do. That's who we are. And we thank you again for giving us this opportunity to have our voice.
Thanks. Hey, Rich, can you tell people where to find you if they want to come by in the Springs?
Absolutely. We are on North Nevada. The cross street is Mount View Lane. We are one stoplight south of the Garden of the Gods, North Nevada intersection. So it's by that Costco there, by the old dog track, and we're in an opportunity zone across the street from some things that we're hoping that get revitalized to try and help that community.
Great, and thanks for your comments about Minnesota. It's a moment, you know, where you feel like everybody is already dealing with so much, and now we layer one more thing that's straining all of our communities all across the country. So thank you very much for leading on that question. Jody Corey, owner of the Spoke and Vine Motel. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. My husband and I bought a rundown motel and took 6 months and poured in our savings to fully renovate it. We only opened on May 1st of 2019, so we are still a very new business here in the western slope in Palisade. So our business is reliant heavily on tourism. Our season goes from the middle of the spring until about the middle of the fall. And again, we're still learning about the seasonality here in the Valley. We're originally from Steamboat Springs, where we both worked in hospitality, where there were two seasons up in the mountain areas. We had last summer about 5 employees that we had helping us Last year, we broke even, which is a great thing for a new business. But for us, we broke even. So over the winter, we were squirreling away our pennies and in hopes of filling the coffers again through this the tourism season this year. And again, you know, heading into the winter. So for us, we don't have much historical information, and we are, you know, we're walking a thin line on profitability. For us, it is, we were allowed to be open because we were deemed essential for people, say, passing through, you know, going from East Coast to West Coast, because we are very close to the interstate. But we essentially should have been, we had no business. We had about 6 reservations over the course of 2 months. Right now, travel is still not, you know, allowed. We are probably operating about 50% occupancy this weekend. And over the summer, we had a bunch of weddings planned where people were booking out our whole motel for their weddings. So they obviously started canceling, and we were just siphoning back money to, you know, to repay the deposits. So that definitely hurt us tremendously. And we're not seeing the level of reservations coming in. So even last year, our first season out of the gate, we were well, significantly more booked throughout the tourism season than this year. I think people are very hesitant. You know, I would assume people can start traveling in July, but I think there's a lot of anxiety around what's the right thing to do. Do they really need to travel? Will the restrictions roll back? And then, you know, and maybe their trip won't happen. So we are living literally day to day with our fingers and toes crossed that we ramp up to some level of occupancy, because at this point it's very difficult for us. And obviously, as a new business owner, small business planning is essential for us. And at this point, we don't even really know how to plan. You know, our budgets that we set out this year, we basically tore them up, and we're going week by week at this point, writing in pencil.
Well, Jody, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts, and I know you've had, even on top of that, in the valley where your hotel is, the difficulty with the peach crop this year as well, which is a real challenge. But everybody on this phone should know that valley has some of the best mountain biking in the world, and it's a destination for people all over the world. So if you haven't checked that out, check it out, and check out Jody's hotel, the motel, the Spoke and Vine Motel. And then finally, just to finish out, and then we'll take questions, we have Bill Carver from Durango, somebody I've known for more than a decade, the owner of Carver Brewing Company, a wonderful place to stop and visit and spend time with friends and loved ones. Bill, would you like to say a word?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Michael, for hosting this. I'm Bill Carver. My brother and I are co-founders of Carver Brewing Company in Durango. We opened in the 1980s, so we've been open here for more than almost 35 years. We have another brew pub up in Glenwood that we opened in 96. So we've been in the business a long time, and this is definitely the most challenging time in my career, which is now spanning close to 40 years in Colorado in the restaurant industry. So we obviously closed in mid-March. We are now looking at being closed about 12 weeks. We're looking at opening in early June here. We're into week 7 of our PPP loan forgiveness test period, and we have yet to open, of course, under government mandate, just recently allowed reopening at 50% capacity. So our numbers are we 100% closed for 12 weeks, and then we're looking at many months of being limited to 50% capacity. So probably right at or below our break-even point for opening. So I wrote Michael a letter right after we got our PPP loan, which we were lucky to get one, but it was obvious that it wasn't very usable if you're closed 100%. The PPP loan forgiveness as it's written now is well suited, ironically, for those businesses that are not highly affected because it's easy to meet payroll. But if your business is highly affected, like if you're a hotel, salon, restaurant, athletic facility, that type of business that's closed, it's very hard to meet any other payroll tests. So having the extension on the PPP loan forgiveness will give a longer runway for those businesses that are just getting going again. Also talked with Michael and his office about the, you know, some of the aspects of the restart program, which I see as very valuable. I think without some sort of program like that, we'll see a lot of small businesses simply not be able to reopen, really because of just a temporary cash flow problem. Like in, for instance, our businesses, we both the brew pubs had about $150,000 of payables that are just normal payables, but they all come due whether you're open or closed. So we've had a cash flow crunch in the weeks after closing. We gave away between the two brew pubs about $40,000 of perishable inventory because we had very, you know, little notice of the closing, which is just the way it went down. We understand that, but we have to buy that inventory back and get cooks in before we can open. So there's not only most of our businesses have accumulated some debt or payables, and then also the reopening costs. So the ability to spread that, really what is a big hurdle, be able to spread that out over several years and absorb that cost is the intent of the restart program. I really like the idea of the sales test. If you had a large decrease in sales, those businesses that are highly affected then get more forgiveness. So I think it's a very well designed program, and I really thank the authors and the office of Bennett and Company that went into the legislation.
Well, Bill, I want to thank you because the idea about, you know, making sure that we were looking at a test like a revenue decline actually came from these calls. You suggested on one call, there was a caller from Boulder who suggested on another call, the original PPP program did not reflect that. And as you said, some of the businesses that were able to then get it were the ones that needed it least. This one instead says that you have to have a significant revenue decline self-certified in your business, and then you're eligible to be able to apply for both PPP and for the restart loan. So I thank our panelists again. I know, again, how busy you guys really are, and so I appreciate everybody being here. I'm happy now to turn it back over to Connor to see if there are questions for the panelists or for me. Again, hit *3 if you'd like to ask a question, and I look forward to our conversation.
Great. Our first question is from Jill from Glenwood Springs. You are now live. Please introduce yourself and ask your question.
Good morning, Senator Bennett. This is Jill from Glenwood Springs. And Bill, I really am looking forward to the brew pub opening up. I can tell you we miss it desperately here. So we are looking forward to that. And Senator Bennett, I'm glad you were in our next door sister county yesterday, but come on over.
Thank you.
I am the executive director for the Arc of the Central Mountains, and we are a nonprofit supporting people with intellectual and developmental disabilities here in four counties in the Central Mountain area. And we were fortunate enough to receive the PPP plan on the first go round. Part of that is, I think, because we went with our small bank that we have a relationship with. And so they sort of walked us through the whole process, which was still a nail biter at the beginning because things were shifting so much. So it was kind of a quick down and dirty, quick and fast process. But I'm happy to say that I've been able to keep my employees, my 0.75 employee, which is desperately needed in order to be able to help support families. And she's bilingual, and so I need her desperately. So I've been very pleased to be able to keep her on board, and we've been very busy supporting people. But because we were part of that first round, I guess I have two questions. One is, how does this differ from something I saw yesterday that went through the House? That passed the House coming over to the Senate as far as extending the PPP. And maybe it's as simple as the complex and very thorough loan portion of what you're proposing. And my second question is, what is the time frame, since those of us on this first go-round are about to come due in the next week, on when we have to be able to provide all of our paperwork to have everything be forgivable? I think
Jill, thank you for your questions, and thanks for calling in. I'll add one other that you didn't ask, but you're a nonprofit, and one of the things that I've been working on as well, we had a prohibition in the original bill that did not allow nonprofits with over 500 people to have access to PPP, to the PPP money, and I never thought that made sense because not many of our nonprofits are 500 or above, but there are some, and they employ a lot of people in this country, and we need to figure out some way to try to include them as well, although they're not part of this legislation. So let me answer the two questions you have. Much of the other legislation, like the House bill, which they passed yesterday, and the one we're considering in the Senate, has focused on what to do to provide flexibility around PPP timelines. That's important. That's the first piece in the bill. And Senator Young and I have been pushing for that for a long time, to double the amount of time to deploy the funds and receive forgiveness. So we were sort of leading the charge on fixing that, and fortunately support for that has grown since we began pushing for it, and I want to come back to that in a second. Very important for us to do that. The reason, by the way, that I was on this was nothing that I was coming to on my own, but I was having town hall after town hall after town hall, hearing from the hardest hit businesses in Colorado, like sit-down restaurants, gyms, retailers, hotels, breweries, and others, who were saying it's either working okay, but not working well enough, or not working at all. And so what's really unique is what you alluded to. It's the second part of the program. It's the new restored loan that will help sustain these hardest hit businesses for the next 6 months after PPP. I'm optimistic about it because it's the only bipartisan plan for what's going to come next after dealing with the initial issues around PPP. Again, this really is focused on the next 6 months of working capital for small businesses to get us through in Colorado, a transition into the middle of winter. And as Bill Carver said, I think the chance for people to pay back the loans over an extended period of time, 7 years in the case that we're recommending, I think is going to relieve some of the pressure that small businesses are facing right now. There are people who are saying we shouldn't do anything else to support our small businesses. My view, with all the uncertainty about the pace of reopening over the next 6 months, the need for capital to buy inventory, rehire staff, and to start getting ready to reopen, I just think it's not an acceptable answer. The payables that Bill mentioned are not waiting. I wish that we could have figured out a way to freeze the economy for 6 months. We weren't able to figure out how to do that. I think Restart helps us with that. Another thing that makes it different is what I mentioned earlier, which is that it targets assistance to the businesses who have taken the biggest revenue hit. Again, that was Colorado's idea. And in the bill, what it says is you need to have taken a hit of 25% or more. It provides a loan up front without a bunch of red tape at very favorable terms throughout. And again, it's a 7-year payback instead of 2 years under PPP, and really importantly, it forgives a portion of that loan based on the revenue declines a business suffers in 2020 versus 2019, either over the full year or the 6-month period after you get the loan. So I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but if you lose 50% of revenue, what that means is about 45% of the loan will be forgiven. If you lose 30% of revenue, 27% alone will be forgiven. The reason why we didn't make it 30 and 30 is that obviously we want to incentivize folks to keep their businesses open, keep their businesses working, and I think we've figured out a way to define the terms so that we've done it. So this is about keeping your business alive no matter what the rest of the year holds. And by the way, another important point for restaurants is, you know, we don't know what the next 6 months hold. So restaurant, like other businesses, they have fixed costs like rents and utilities and other debt service, employee benefits, you know, things like that. Many of our restaurants may be operating at half capacity. Our motels, our hotels may be acting at reduced capacity. So this forgiveness will allow you to stay open even if you're only halfway or 75% of the way back, so you can get to the other side. Joe, you asked about timing. I don't know the answer to that. I think that there is going to be an effort, I think, to try to extend the PPP program by what's called unanimous consent in the Senate, which means that we can do it without actually taking a vote. It's very hard to pass things by unanimous consent, but it's not unheard of. And there, because the program is, you know, kind of coming to its end, there may be real pressure on people to do it. And I obviously would support that. I would prefer us to deal with this and restart at the same time and do it in a timely way. Probably the restart program is going to end up being part of the next COVID bill, which is, and the timing of that is very uncertain. It's passed, you know, a version of the bill has passed the House of Representatives. Senator McConnell, the majority leader in the Senate, has said that he doesn't necessarily see a need for a bill right now. I think the president is more anxious to have a bill than the majority leader is, which sets up the opportunity for an interesting negotiation to try to get it done. I think, you know, I'm not speaking out of school when I say for the small business owners on this call, the help can't come soon enough, because every week that goes by with the kind of uncertainty that we have in this economy, that generates, I think, months-long issues of predictability about whether people can reopen, and if they do reopen, how many employees they can have, what they can pay their suppliers, what to do with their landlords on rent and other payables. So, you know, the more certainty we can give more quickly, the better off we're going to be, and I'm pushing for that as well in Washington. Connor?
Our next question is from Beverly from Durango. You are now live. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Hi. First, I wanted to thank Senator Bennett for these calls and to applaud all your good works in this regard. As a former commercial lender, you were mentioning about rents and utilities, and I'm wondering how the Restart Act addresses that. Most hospitality or service businesses, their largest expense is in payroll and some of the fixed overhead that Bill Carver was talking about, and we're looking forward to Carver's reopening, so shout out to Bill. But with regard to there would be a way, I would think, to – I mean, I would advocate that the SBA make direct loans based on either – they used to be called SIC codes or standard industrialized codes, but there is a way to I think, focus and funnel this money to the hospitality industry or those that in seasonal businesses that really could benefit from this. And then my last part of the question would be, what can we do for those on this call to help support you in helping to get the Restart Act through?
Well, let me on the what can we do to support, which I deeply appreciate. You can keep an eye on the legislation as it goes through and let your member of Congress know that you care about it, that you want it passed. If you are part of a national organization because of the commercial lending that you've done, having your national organizations weigh in. Governor Polis yesterday or the day before weighed in with the National Governors Association to try to make it a priority for them. We share priorities. One is the restart. The other major one is making sure that we're providing funding to backstop the revenue loss of our state and local governments. And our governors have a big stake here because, recovering the our county governments and our state governments are really, really important, but they're not enough. If you, you know, as somebody, I mean, you're from Durango, Beverly, somebody from Silverton said to me not that long ago, if you got to make your whole year's nut in 4 months, and if you're closed during the 4 months that you can make that, it makes things very challenging. So I think there is a lot of openness to trying to change the existing programs, and I'm hoping as people pay attention to what Senator Young and I proposed that they'll zero in on this. By the way, I have no pride of authorship. I mean, if somebody tomorrow, if you or Bill Carver comes up with a better idea, I'm happy to have that better idea instead of our idea. I just want to make sure that we can protect the small businesses that we have as well as we can. You asked about what Restart was meant to cover. Do we include business rent, and which is a large cost to the service industry, and the question about codes on income tax returns? The answer is yes. Restart allows businesses to cover a very broad array of ordinary and necessary business expenses that people have to make for the amount found on fixed costs like rent, utilities, mortgage, interest, other debt service costs you had in place before this all hit, benefits and payroll, you'll get a portion forgiven. So it includes a pretty wide range of forgivable costs, including those you mentioned. But if you need to spend it on inventory or other expenses, you can do that too. We want the small businesses to have the flexibility they need to do what they need to do. There are some prohibited expenses, but there aren't many of them. One is political contributions or buying property or stocks. But outside of those sort of obvious prohibitions, there's pretty clear wide latitude for how small businesses can use the money. And I want to be clear that forgiveness is targeted to fixed operating costs, benefits, and payroll, but that covers a broad array of the costs. You asked, what about the SBA and direct loans? EIDL is the direct loan program from the SBA. So far, it's been pretty messy, slow, and frustrating. I think it's going to be hard in the face of that to stand up something new. People are pretty skeptical about what's going on with EIDL. We've been pushing really hard on SBA to get going faster on EIDL. And as Rich mentioned, it's been enormously frustrating all over the state. Though in the last week or so, there does seem to be some recent easing of the backlog. So we'll keep working on that. I hope they'll keep working on that to figure out how to improve it. From what we've heard from the Small Business Committee in the Senate about direct lending, the fastest way to do that will likely be changes, improvements to EIDL, and we'll be on the lookout for those as well. Hunter?
Our next question is from Ryan from Denver. You are now live. Please introduce yourself and ask your question.
Hi, Senator Bennett. This is Ryan. I'm part owner of a home health company in Colorado, and just wanted to say thank you for doing this work on the Restart Act. I think it's important. My question is, and I appreciate everyone's comments because I think they're important. My question is actually related to concerns about people who do end up unemployed and lose things like health coverage related to the state budget. I'm curious what you view as opportunities in the upcoming Relief Act to bring relief to state budgets, which ultimately have downstream effects for the unemployed and health coverage for the unemployed, as well as small businesses.
Yeah, I mean, so many other things. I'd add behavioral health, mental health, obviously police and fire. I used to be the superintendent of the Denver Public Schools, and I've spent a lot of time on the phone with teachers and principals all across the state of Colorado who are desperately concerned about what this all means for school reopening next year and worried about the diminished opportunities that kids are having. So this is all very, very real. And when you look at the revenue loss in Colorado, you know, our state budget is off at least 25% in terms of revenue. Our local budgets are off anywhere between 30 and 70%, Gilpin County has the distinction of being the county in America with the steepest revenue decline of any county in our country. And so there's a ton of work for us to do. And the order of magnitude, you know, that we're confronting today versus what we were confronting during the Great Recession 10 years ago, it almost can't be compared. This looks a lot more like the Great Depression than it does like that recession. And obviously, you know, you mentioned the implications that all of this has for people that are on Medicaid. And I can't think of anything that would be more counterproductive than having people lose their health insurance in the middle of a health pandemic. But I can tell you, as I mentioned, I was in one of our counties yesterday, and that people have not been showing up for other health screenings, not pandemic related, but other ones, because they've lost their health insurance, their ability to get those screenings. So this is a way of caving in on itself, as does the economy. I mean, if our state and our local governments have to start laying off massive numbers of workers, that's only going to compound the economic catastrophe that we're facing. So a very high priority for me is to make sure that in the next COVID bill, we have funds to support our state and local governments. We will never make up for what's been lost, not remotely, but I think we can turn worst case scenario budgets into somewhat worst case, you know, less worst case scenario budget, and get us through the situation that we're in. When you look at the $3 trillion of stimulus that we've already spent in the course of this pandemic, only $150 billion of that has been for state and local governments. So, you know, I think there are people in the administration who believe what I just said. Mitch McConnell is a tougher nut to crack, but we're gonna work very hard on that. For those of you that are wondering what you can do to help, please, 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 you know, you can call his office and ask him to do something useful here in terms of state and local governments. One other area that we didn't talk about, I won't belabor it, but our higher education sector is just getting, you know, obliterated as a result of this right now. And during the last pandemic, they were a refuge for people who had lost jobs and were out of work. This time that's much harder because of the effect that the pandemic has had on people being able actually to congregate on campus. So that's something else we're going to have to work our way through. And I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to include some funding for them in the next bill as well. Connor?
Our next question is from Todd from Denver. You are now live. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Senator Bennett. Thank you for your time. My name is Todd Lindenbaum. I'm the CEO of a company called Suite Hop. We're a marketplace for stadium and arena luxury suites for sporting events and concerts, which have all obviously been canceled and postponed. And so I like your optimism on 6 months of getting back to normal, and restaurants are certainly going to be able to be opened at some capacity, but it's very uncertain on when mass gatherings like that are going to be able to happen again.
Yep.
And so my question is, you know, why would the Restart Act limit it to 16 weeks when there still could be uncertainty for certain segments of the economy?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part, Todd.
I was just saying, or is that just for the forgiveness, the 16-week kind of window?
Well, we're for the 16 weeks, we're providing at least 16 weeks. So you can choose between 16 weeks after your loan is originated or 8 weeks after the bill passes. So if the bill doesn't pass until you are 12 weeks into your covered loan period, you get 20 weeks. Let me just say that again, because it's really, really confusing. Let me be really clear. It's at least 16 weeks, and you can choose between 16 weeks after the loan is originated or 8 weeks after the bill passes. And if the loan doesn't pass until you're 12 weeks into the covered loan period, you'd get 20 weeks. So there is not a reason to wait. You know, you can apply for it now. The House has passed 24 weeks, and I would certainly be open to that. And I'm also totally open to more flexibility as well. I never believed in the 25% cap on non-payroll loan forgiveness in the original bill. It didn't make any sense. That's not in the PPP part of our bill. And I hope with some flexibility and some more time, we're able to get some things done. If we can negotiate for a longer period based on the House bill, we'll certainly do that. Restart is for 6 months. So that takes you out to basically the end of the year. And you can, obviously, you can get both PPP and then restart. And for your business, you know, if you're, in fact, I've used the examples of your kind of business as an example, where you're dealing with an arena that just can't open. If you're completely shuttered and lose more than 80% of your revenues, you can get up to 12 months under restart. So that I have in mind there, you know, and specifically talked about concert venues and theaters and the rest. So as we go forward in the drafting and in the negotiation of the bill, if you see opportunities to improve it, to make it to cover you better, please let us know. And listen, I just want to make clear, I don't view this as a gift to anybody or as like, you know, some, you know, ridiculous amount of generosity from the federal government. This is about recognizing, hopefully, a once-in-a-lifetime catastrophe for small businesses all over this country, and wanting the government not to pick winners and losers, and wanting the government not to have a one-size-fits-all program, but instead allowing us for a moment to act as one nation under God and make sure that we are providing the kind of relief that's required in a moment like this for us to pull together. And remember, some of the loans are forgivable, but it is a loan, and there'll be payback over 7 years. So unfortunately, there's nobody else that's got the resources that the federal government has here, and I don't think there's anybody else that can bring to bear the kind of solutions that the federal government has done here. We're trying to do it with as light a touch as possible, but as broadly as possible, so that we can reach a business like Todd's, as well as a business like Bill Carver's or a hotel that, you know, can't yet even open until they know whether the ski resorts in Colorado are going to open again. This is going to be a moving target, and for that reason, we built flexibility into the program. Hunter?
Our next question is from Len from Denver. You are now, you know, allowed to introduce yourself and ask your question. Oh, go ahead, Michael.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say before Len goes, if people have further suggestions, or if you're having challenges getting your PPP loan, if you're having issues with accessing the Department of Agriculture funds, healthcare, I mean, any of those kinds of things, immigration issues that you're concerned about, you can always reach me at my Denver office, and the number there is 303-455-7600. We've got a ton of very hardworking people in Washington and Colorado who are working on every kind of constituent service, from getting people home from Peru and India to making sure that we can go back in and say, did you really mean to deny this PPP loan and everything in between. So I'd encourage you to reach out. It's 303-455-7600. So now, Len, I'm going to turn it over to you. I apologize for interrupting.
Oh, not at all. Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Along with my wife, Kristen, I'm the co-owner of the Tattered Cover Bookstores here in Denver. And we, you know, thanks to our great partnership with our local Alpine, Colorado-owned Alpine Bank, we got a PPP loan very early, so we're in the final week of it now. It has been a great bridge, but as you point out, we're now being forced to make a decision to reopen in an environment where, for bookstores, it may not make a lot of sense. Our customers like to linger. They like to touch everything. We make our money by hosting large-scale events, as we did for one of your book events, which was, we were grateful for you choosing us. So I'm very intrigued by Restart. The questions I have is, have you gotten to the nitty-gritty of, will this be collateralized? Will there be personal guarantees? How far out is the deferment before the first payment has to be made? Those kinds of questions.
So, Len, I can't answer your question without first saying thank you for everything you guys do for our community. And the day that I walked over to do my book event at your bookstore, I was able to walk half a mile from my house. I had a smile on my face the entire time because I thought how lucky I was to be able to walk to my favorite bookstore to be able to do something like that. And I know that night after night after night, you do that for our Denver community and for Colorado at large. So, and every day I walk by your bookstore, which is probably at least two or three times a week. I worry about what's going on with you guys and worry about the fact that it's closed. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate your calling, and I can't wait to come visit the bookstore and linger and linger and linger and linger. So let me be clear about something first. PPE comes first, the way this is designed. So we're doing that for at least 16 weeks. They're up to 24 weeks, as we were talking about before. And as you noted, that's a helpful bridge. And then we have to figure out what's next. And in my view, restart is what should come after PPP to help you weather the next 6 months. Basically, the idea is to give you breathing space to get into 2021. There's no underwriting or collateral requirement here. We are saying, look, and there's no principal paid for 2 years, no interest due in the first year. What we're saying is, look, this is a unique moment. We'd never design a program like this, obviously, in a normal time. The point is that you could be the most creditworthy bookstore or restaurant in the entire country on February 15, 2020. With the most successful run in, you know, restaurant or bookstore history. And by April, there's no standard we could put in place to get you credit. So what we're basically saying is we're going to get you a quick loan, and it gives you a lot of runway to get back up to speed. And so you try to get back up to speed over the next 2 years, and then you don't need to pay it back. You got to pay it back over the next 7 years. And that's the portion that's not forgiven, because the forgivable portions include permissible expenses like payroll and all the rest. I don't know if my colleague Charlie Anderson is on the phone from Washington or not, but if he is, Charlie is the nitty gritty guy here. I wonder, Charlie, if you'd like to add anything to what I just said, or
I think you said it well. Yeah, I think you said it well, and it's important. I know it's somewhat confusing because there's a bunch of programs, but the PPP stuff comes first, extend PPP, and then what comes after. And so if you've gotten a PPP loan, you are also eligible for Restart, and the design there is to take you through the next 6 months, and then, as Michael said, give you a long runway before you need to start making payments, because, you know, there's a lot of concerns.
Charlie, what if you've already had PPP, used PPP, mm-hmm. and you've, you know, you've expended the 8 weeks? What about somebody who's done that?
Yeah, then restarts your next thing. So you basically, the only prohibition is you can't use, you know, PPP funding to fund the same thing that you're funding with Restart. So if you've already gotten through the period, you know, you can't use the two different pots of funds for the same cost, but that's the only thing.
What if you had eight weeks and we passed it, could you be eligible for another 8 weeks, or
another 8 weeks of PPP? No, you can only get one swipe of PPP per establishment, but then you can also get Restart afterwards. So Restart is just a much longer, you know, it's 3.25 times as long covered period to come after a few. So the design is basically, you know, if this gets put in place in June or early July, you know, you sort of, for the second half of the year and early into 2021, to carry you through that period, give you some breathing space.
Great. I should say that Charlie is one of many really excellent staff people that work in my office and have a much more sophisticated understanding of everything that we're doing, including, by the way, figuring out how to help establish those bipartisan relationships that are so important to getting things passed. So thanks, Charlie. And thanks again, Len. I really appreciate it. Connor?
Yes, our next question is from Elizabeth from Boulder. You are now live. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Senator Bennett, it's so extraordinary that you do these events, and I'm very, very appreciative. I get to hear detail that I wouldn't get anywhere else. So thank you very much, and I will be supporting you and Todd Young. I own a consulting business. It's called Center Edge, and I work with all kinds of businesses at different points in their beginning and development. And so my question is, in your restart program, will there be a limitation given to banks or selection of banks to be certain that the majority amount of money does actually go to small businesses?
Thanks, Elizabeth. And you're pointing out something that's really, really important. I've heard from many rural businesses and minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, businesses that don't have necessarily the pre-existing relationships with banks who had a very difficult time getting PPP. Not everybody. Some people did. And some banks and some local banks were actually quite successful at getting the money out. But overall, I think there's a concern that folks with pre-existing banking relationships had better access to the fund. So here, the ways we're trying to deal with that in this bill are, first of all, in terms of just the terms of the loans themselves, we make the origination fees much more generous for smaller loans, and the federal government will pay 100% of those fees for smaller businesses. So that puts the thumb on the scale for smaller businesses right there. You know, that's a recognition that, you know, small businesses may just not even have the money to handle the fixed cost of those fees. And so I think that's at least a way of trying to help. We're also going to work to get funding through to CDFIs, like to get to the smallest businesses. And we've seen some success with that, with PPE and some of the other programs that we've had in place. And we're also considering a set aside for the smallest businesses with fewer than 50 full-time equivalent employees. One way to do that would be to give a 90 to 120 day period when there's a certain amount of funding set aside that will be designed to fully meet the needs of the smallest businesses. The reason I like that is that way people won't feel like they have to rush to the front of the line to beat businesses with 400 employees who might have a stronger lending relationship with a bank. I remember Bill Carver saying to me early on in all of this that it seemed crazy to create a competition for people to get to the resources when people didn't actually need it at that moment. And so this is an effort to try to help with that. So to some extent, we're trying to encourage the banks to serve the smallest businesses, and we can always do more. And so, Elizabeth, I would say, since you deal with so many businesses and you're in the work that you do, I would love it if you know, as we get into this, if you could give us feedback, give my office feedback, and let us know how we can improve the implementation once this thing is through there. Because, you know, the part of the issue that small businesses face is that it's just simply a fact that if you can hire lawyers or accountants, it's easier to get to the front of the line. Sometimes it's just easier to create a separate line and not force the smallest businesses to rush. And that's what we're working on. So, again, as we work to improve the proposals, I hope you'll give us your thoughts. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Connor.
Great. We're going to take our last question of the morning from Art from Brighton. As Senator Bennett mentioned before, I know there are a lot of questions we didn't get to today, but you can reach out to our Denver office at any time. That number is 303-455-7600. And with that, I will take Art live. Please introduce yourself and ask your question.
Good morning. This is Art Biersbach with B10 Consulting. Thank you for putting this together, Senator, and I think your staff has done an admirable job in organizing things. And thank you for finding a new place for me to stop next time I'm down in the Springs. My question has to do with Alaska.
I can give you a place in every single town in this wonderful state.
I'm sure you could.
but please go ahead.
I might have a problem driving from one to the next if I did that.
That's true.
But the last round, as soon as the PPP came up and I realized there was some sole proprietorship words there, I contacted the Small Business Administration at the number on their website, and I talked to a lady who had no idea what a sole proprietorship was. So I would ask that in the next round, at least give some real thought. It almost felt like an afterthought, and maybe it wasn't. Maybe that's just my impression. But the sole proprietorships were kind of left hanging, and I haven't talked to any of my peers that really were able to negotiate the process, and it was just a lot of uncertainty on how to deal with the ultimate of the small business. So meanwhile, we just kind of struggled along as best we could, hoping for things to lighten up so we get back with clients. And thanks for putting this together again. I think it was a great call.
No, I appreciate it, Art. And actually, I think that's the perfect way to end with an excellent statement by you and a very short answer from me for once. As I was saying in the last call, we just got to do more for sole proprietors and the smallest businesses, and to ensure that you guys have set aside so you're not forced to compete with the larger businesses. One thing I will say that I think is a success in this moment of economic distress is that we were able to expand unemployment for self-employed people and other folks with 1099 income so they could get unemployment benefits for the first time. That's never happened before. It should have happened a long time ago. And that, at least in that context, is some recognition of what you guys are doing. So I really, really appreciate it. Look, I want to close just by thanking the panel again to Janine, Rich, Jessica, Jody, and Bill. I'm embarrassed because I ended up with all the questions, and you guys actually know what you're trying to do, and you're incredibly busy doing it. But I really am grateful that you're here because, as I said earlier, small businesses are the backbone of our economy. Half of all our workers are employed by small businesses. And if we don't act in a way that is material, as a quarter of them could fail. And that's how a great recession turns into the Great Depression. We just can't let that happen. And so we need to make sure that I think this proposal is in the next package. The last thing I'll say is this. We have to recognize that our small businesses are in this position not because they did anything wrong, but because they did what was right. They closed their doors to keep us safe. And now they're limiting their customers to keep us safe. And we shouldn't be punishing them for that. We should be lifting them up. So my only request to everybody on the call is if you think this is a good idea, help us make the case in Washington to build support for the idea so we can get it in the next package. Make sure that as we reopen that you patronize Colorado's small businesses as much as you possibly can, as safely as you can. And as I said earlier, if you have questions or additional feedback on this or any other topic, immigration, Social Security, you name it, healthcare, we're here to help. And you can call my office at 303-455-7600. Thanks, everybody, for being on the call, and I look forward to seeing all of you in person, hopefully very soon. Goodbye.